Well, hello everyone and welcome. This is Bobby Laporte, and I am CEO of Bobby Laporte & Associates, and I'm the host of the Executive Aid Station. In today's competitive and dynamic executive marketplace, we believe that leadership is an endurance event, and we are here to provide the support that today's leaders are seeking. As an executive advisor and keynote speaker, I work with blue-chip corporations and promising startups, providing practical, actionable advice to help develop strong leaders and winning teams. I ran my first marathon when I turned 50. I'm currently training for my 7th Ironman triathlon, and I believe that by adopting the mindset of an athlete, using goal setting, strategic planning, team building, and recovering from setbacks, that individuals will have an advantage in their professional lives. On the Executive Aid Station, our show guests are executives who have successfully achieved a balanced life, as well as experts in fitness, health and wellness, personal leadership, and others who will share their strategies for feeling good inside and out, for living and leading mindfully, and for gaining a competitive edge in the workplace. My guest today is Gary Parise. Gary has over 25 years of experience as an executive communications coach and speaker, specializing in enhancing personal brand, reputation, and leadership presence. He helps senior executives to clearly communicate, motivate, and engage corporate boards, shareholders, employees, and teams. Gary's passion for words has led to his many successes as a radio broadcaster and advertising executive, as well as his current work as an advisor to Fortune 100 executives. I'm fortunate to call Gary my friend, my personal presentation coach, and a fellow lover of golden retrievers. So, Gary, welcome and thank you for being here today. I'm so glad that you're a guest on our show because one of the biggest challenges I see with executives today is their personal branding and leadership presence, as well as how to communicate effectively in our 24/7 communications world. And your expertise in these areas is really invaluable and has helped so many top-level leaders gain a competitive edge. So I'm very, very excited and pleased to have you here today. So welcome.
Thank you, Bobby. It's a pleasure to be with you today, and your introduction says everything it needs to say about you, and that's how important words are, because it was clearly communicated. Congratulations to you on that.
Well, thank you. It's one of the things that I've learned from you, and as you and I have talked, it's how we describe ourselves and how we develop our personal brand is a work in progress, something that we all need to continue to work on.
It is, so, and even those of us in the industry are still working on ours as well, and it's just a matter of more clearly defining it, and every time we learn something new about us, we can more clearly define it and learn something more about our audience and our market, we can more clearly define it as well. So lots of opportunities out there.
Yes, and I mean, I agree with you. It's definitely, it's not a one-time exercise that you do. It's something that you continue to evolve and that you craft and that you add to. And I know that's a big part of the work you do with executives. So one of the things I want to start with is you've often said that your kind of positioning and your mantra is words matter. So can you tell us a little bit about how you developed your passion for words and how that has guided some of your career choices?
Sure. And it wasn't overnight that I developed that energy and that passion around words. I was known in grade school as a geek, and it wasn't about technology. It was because I brought a dictionary to school, and I would study the history of words, etymology of words, and I was always fascinated by where words came from and what the different meanings of those words meant over hundreds of years or even centuries as words have changed, and how language changes in different cultures, and how we even here in the United States have gone through various iterations of our own language and our own cultures. And I am very, very fascinated by that. And Bobby, the other thing that I've recognized too is not only the change and the culture of words, but that our successes are based on the language we use. And for those of us who are managers and we're looking to move up into the organization and up the food chain into higher levels and higher positions, we need to change our language from manager language to leadership language, because that's going to be our success. So, it, as I said, it wasn't overnight, and I've seen it time and time again, and I've adopted many, many of the things that, I even help other executives with today in terms of their leadership language, because I really do see it as being the entree to success.
Really interesting that you talk about how as you, as leaders evolve and move up in their careers, that their language needs to shift and change as well. You talked about the difference between having the language you might use as a manager versus the language as a leader. Can you share some examples of when you're working with executives on their communications, on their choice of words, on kind of developing their brand? How do you help them to make that shift? How do you help them to think differently about themselves as leaders and to start thinking about their choice of words and what words mean to them differently?
Yeah, and I'm very, very clear about this one. The managers have an entirely different language than the leaders of the organization. And the managers I work with have a language that is very much a very tactical kind of language. Mm-hmm. It's very much about what they do day in and day out and how they, you know, how they do it. Whereas the leader has more of a vision language. In fact, I refer to it as leaders use seeing words, and that's S-E-E-I-N-G. Mm-hmm. They use seeing words like clear and clearly and point of view and how they've analyzed things, and now they have a very clear direction about where they're going, and their vision and mission are very clear to them. They talk differently because they have a broader scope of what's going on. So the words that they choose are very vision-oriented, again, seeing kinds of words. And I encourage them to use that kind of language. And as a matter of fact, even people who are in career transition, if they're looking at moving up within their own company or in a prospective new company, I encourage them to start using these seeing words. And not as every word, but to drop them into the conversation.
Right.
And as they start doing that, the conversation is going to become more robust, and they're going to be viewed as a leader. And it's critical to the success of winning an interview, winning over a team, gaining buy-in from higher level individuals in the organization, change from that managerial language, which is, again, very tactical about things you're doing today, mm-hmm. to very leadership-oriented about the plans for the future.
Very interesting. You and I have talked about this a lot, but I've never heard you label it that way. So I think that's very, very helpful, that idea of seeing language. And it definitely, I mean, there's sort of a visual picture I get there of how the difference between how a manager would choose words and the words that a leader uses really to effectively articulate that vision and have people believe that they should follow them.
Absolutely.
So the seeing language is very, very interesting. I really like that a lot.
When we look at presentations and speeches, the ones that are memorable, and I'm going to pick out a few that everybody goes to, but just for the sake of time, John Kennedy, in his inauguration speech, talked about landing a man on the moon within the decade. And there's that vision and that inspiration that he had, and then that encouraged this entire nation to follow through and make sure that that happened. Mm-hmm. He didn't talk about the plan on how to build a spacecraft. He talked about the vision that he had, as well as Martin Luther King, who went to the top of the mountain and he saw the future. And he had that great, great vision of it, too. So those are two very obvious examples. But I think if you look inside your company, you can pick out that leader who has that vision and uses those words.
Those words. Absolutely. Yeah. No, those are great examples. So one of the questions that I'm interested in hearing your opinion on is, in this sort of 24/7 nonstop communications age we live in, we hear a lot lately about the media and about fake news, et cetera. How important are words? I mean, can they really make a difference? Do people really listen anyway? I sometimes feel like there's just so much noise out there. It's becoming increasingly difficult for leaders to really break through, to kind of curate the kind, you know, the meaning that they want to give to their communications with people. It seems to me to be such a challenging task. And are words really, can words really, I guess, in this environment I'm asking, really make a difference?
And it's almost understated to say, are words important today? They're even more critical today. Social media in situations like a tweet that we have very few characters that we can utilize. So our choice of the words that we use within that has been narrowed down to a few and critical words that we have to choose. So it is how we present ourselves. In fact, Bobby, today, words and language are not just needed by leaders within the companies who are listening to us today. It's a requirement that they have great language and great command of the language, because words are so important. If you look back to our childhoods and that old saying that we used to hear, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I don't know who came up with that, but it is so untrue, because it is the words that will hurt you. And that kind of pain does not go away. And look at the situations in schools where bullying is going on, even in the workplace where bullying is going on,
right?
How critical those words are. And are people listening? Sure. When somebody hears a detrimental word about themselves, or it's a personal attack on them, they hear that. And that's not a broken bone that heals. That's a word that stays with you for a lifetime. And to go along with that, it is critical to understand that we need to be authentic in our communication, right, and find our voice and deliver words appropriately and make those words authentic, make them positive, and then people are going to feel engaged and they're going to want to listen to us. So, Bobby, I could go on for hours about this, but I think words today are even more critical, because we've got to get to our point faster,
right,
more quickly, and we have less time to do it in. And so, yes, I'm all about the idea that we really need to make our words count.
Making our words count, absolutely. I think it's such a big challenge for the leaders that we work with who just don't have the time. Right? You talked about being authentic and choosing your words carefully, and I think, you know, most of the people that we work with, you know, they have amazing schedules and they're on all the time, and they barely have time to stop and think, never mind to be in a conversation and be present and really be thinking about their choice of words. You mentioned helping people become authentic and find their voice. So how do you, without giving away like sort of a lot of secrets here, so how do you help an executive find their voice?
It's not easy, because a lot of people try to be somebody they're not. And I have worked with executives who have asked me to help them with presentations. And they'll start off the conversation by saying, I want to sound like, and then fill in the blank. I've had people come up to me after a presentation I do and say, I would like to do presentations like you do.
Right.
And I immediately say, no, you don't. You want to do them like you do them. Too many times I have seen YouTube videos, I have been at presentations where the person has been coached to be somebody they're not. They've been coached to,
right,
do an arm movement that is not appropriate for them. They've been coached to go up at the end of a sentence, which is not authentic for them, because that's not the way they talk. And so what we do is we get down to what their voice is. How would they, in a one-on-one conversation, talk? how when they're looking in the mirror in the morning, how do they talk to themselves? And we get down to that kind of level where we are finding that authentic, that voice that is so much about them. We even get down to word choices, because so many times they say, I need to use, and it's not the leadership, but it's a word that they may not even use in regular conversation. And it doesn't feel authentic to them. You know it when they say it.
Right.
And you can sense it when they say it, that that's not them. So between the arm movements, the movement on the platform, the words that they choose, all of this is so critically important to finding that authentic, their real voice, that authentic voice that they have. So that's how we go about it.
That's how you go about it. Excellent. I mean, it really does start with just being natural and conversational, because that is different for everybody. And I agree with what you said. If people try to force it and they try to talk like somebody else or look like somebody else, then that's going to be a forced situation. But I think often executives feel like, well, but then who I am naturally, conversationally, that's not exciting enough. It's not interesting enough. It's not dynamic enough, right? So then how you take their natural kind of conversational style and build on that. And then I've seen you do this, create amazing transformations of people in front of audiences who appear like they've been doing this their whole lives. So there's definitely an art to it, and I know it, for you and the client, I know it takes a lot of hard work. So thank you for that.
And yes, and recently I had an executive call me about the help he needed as he took a new CEO job, and they were having an all-hands meeting. And he wanted to introduce himself. And I asked him what his thoughts were and what his plan was in the introduction. And he wanted to take about a half hour, and he had 20-some slides that he wanted to use.
Right, he had the PowerPoint and going.
Yes, he has the yes, he has the whole PowerPoint presentation ready to go. And I said, I guess I must have paused on the telephone. And he said, well, what's wrong with that? And I said, and then he said to me, what are your thoughts around this? And I said, well, actually about 2 or 3 minutes and no slides.
Exactly.
And he said, we need to get together and talk about this. We got together, and together we wrote a minute and a half introduction from which he got a standing ovation from 800 employees.
Wow.
With no PowerPoint slides. And it was a minute and a half of him talking about his leadership, about his vision, about where he wanted to go and where he thought the company could go, and how the work that they were going to do would impact each of the careers of each of the people in the audience. And he won them over in a minute and a half. It was amazing.
That's amazing.
Well, that is clearly, yeah.
I mean, it's an entirely different approach, very inspirational, but also connected it to them, right? Because that's the first thing, I think, when you have any new leader, right, people in the audience or any change, people want to know, well, what does this mean for me? You know, what am I going to learn for this person? Mm-hmm. What is this person's agenda that they're setting, their plan? How am I going to be impacted? So that was amazing advice you gave him. It's a great way for him to kick off this new role and be able to connect with, you know, all the people in the company, much better than a set of PowerPoint deck. Set of PowerPoint slides, for sure.
Yes, exactly. And he also said that I had taken him off the hook in terms of coming up with a half hour of content and having to produce all of those slides. And he said, I've learned something new for team meetings, for one-on-one meetings, for group meetings, for presentations that he's doing. And he said, I've learned something brand new, and that's really going to help me focus on the message.
Right.
And that's where I come from. Let's focus on the message we want to deliver. And if it takes a minute and a half, or if it takes an hour and a half, what do we need to focus on that message?
Message, right. Well, that's excellent. Congratulations. I'm sure that that was very much appreciated by him, made a huge difference in his introduction to the new employees or to the company.
Sure did.
So I wanted to switch, before we wrap up here in a few minutes, I wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about personal branding, because I know that's such a big buzzword, and everybody says you need to do it, and I know that you work with executives on helping to articulate, you know, kind of uncover and articulate and bring their personal brand forward. Can you talk a little bit about why that's important for leaders today, and you know, a little sense of how you go about doing that when you're working with executives?
Sure. The fact that we can articulate clearly, precisely, and concisely what our personal brand is, I have seen this result in more self-confidence and more of that authenticity coming through in the way that we use our language, the venues that we use language in. But I've seen these two, it's like cream rising to the top, where the self-confidence goes up and their authentic communication goes up when they can articulate their brand. It is critical. And again, I mentioned earlier how much words and good language is a requirement today, just not a need. It is so important for us to be able to articulate that brand, because you're right, there are a lot of people out there. Let's just take somebody who is in career transition. They are faced with not just one or two competitors from their neighborhood.
Right.
They are competing against hundreds of people from all across the planet, and they need to differentiate themselves from everybody else. And Bobby, we are all wired so uniquely that when we can articulate the value and our values that we bring to the table, the person sitting across the table knows immediately that we are a candidate, or perhaps maybe not a candidate for that particular job, but we have clearly articulated it. Let's take that person who's in career transition, again, for an example. When you are starting to clearly articulate your value and values for particular jobs, it also helps you narrow that focus down to what it is you're looking for, because you're very specific.
Right.
So again, identifying that brand is very important. And how do we go about it? I actually have them start writing stories about the achievements that they've had over their entire careers. And from those stories, we start to see a common thread that runs through their entire career. It may be different industries, and I can speak to that too, because I've been in several different industries, but it is more about that thread that runs through our career, which is that value and values that we bring to the workplace that actually transcends any industry and transcends any title. It's about the body of work that we do. When we identify that body of work, articulate that body of work, which is our brand, we can win job interviews, we can win people over, we can win in negotiations, in persuasion. It just covers so much area. But we've got to identify what that brand is to differentiate ourselves from everybody else.
Right. Well, it's also a great way, I mean, story is, you know, as you know, stories are so important. It's also a great way for people to kind of reflect back on, as you said, the body of work and their accomplishments and look for those themes. And then those stories and examples of what they've done help to provide support, whether it's in your career transition, it's an interview, or if it's in a leadership role, and you can say to the people in your group, let me tell you a story about a time that this happened to me, or here's about a challenge that I had. And I think everybody identifies with people who can talk about challenges and how they overcome them, can share stories about obstacles they've had in their career. You know, I love that approach because it has so many applications. I mean, it gets you to the end result you're looking for in terms of identifying that brand, but then it has so many other applications in terms of how you develop those stories along the way. And then, of course, the challenge is, how do you keep that brand alive and present, right? I'm sure for many of the people that you work with, that's a challenge, because you always have to be thinking, am I using the right language? Am I living the brand? Am I really articulating and showing up in the value set that I have, that I want to be known for? Right.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Correct. And critically important to, and to add to what you just said, critical piece in today's world, and be it a job interview or be it a presentation you're doing in front of a brand new group of people, is demonstrating your relevance to the marketplace. Because just as companies need to be relevant to a market, to the competition, we as employees need to be relevant to our prospective new employer or our current employer. When we can articulate our brand, we can definitely communicate our relevance.
Exactly. Yep. Very, very helpful. Thank you. This has been, even though I know you well and I know some of this, I always learn something when I talk to you. So this has been very helpful, very interesting. I'm sure our listeners will agree. Before we wrap up, I have one other question. So what are you working on now? What are you up to? What's new in your world? What kinds of interesting things are you developing in 2017?
I am definitely looking at that word relevance. Uh-huh. And seeing how it particularly applies to individuals. And so I'm doing a lot of homework around that and helping my clients become more relevant and articulate that relevance. Also, the other thing about communication today and what I'm focused on as well is the word integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the integrity in our communication and how we're communicating. And how important it really is. And it's not just the 30-minute presentation. It could be the minute-and-a-half presentation.
Right.
But you've got to do it with integrity. And because words are so, so meaningful. And it's the choice of words that carry our meaning. And, Bobby, that's why there are phrases out there like, you've got my word on this. Because
yes.
There's integrity behind it.
Yes. Yes. Excellent. Well, as we started off talking about words matter, I know that's your mantra. I think you've done a wonderful job of helping our listeners today to better understand why words matter, particularly in the day and age that we live in, how to stay relevant, how to make sure that you're keeping integrity in your communications. So it's really been a pleasure, and I will say a personal privilege for me having you on our show. I've really enjoyed our conversation. One last question for you. So where can our listeners find you, and how could they stay connected with you?
Well, they could certainly go to the website, which is my name, GaryPurice.com.
Okay, yep, very good.
And they can look there, and of course, I'm on LinkedIn as well. And just so everybody knows, all of those words are very carefully chosen on both the website and on LinkedIn. So please take a look at that.
They're good, excellent examples of
thank you.
You have a great choice of words, yes.
Thank you.
Well, that's great, Gary. Thank you so much for your generous time and for being our guest. To all of our listeners, thank you for joining us as always. That's it for today's show. I look forward to sharing our next episode of the Executive Aid Station with you soon. In the meantime, make sure to visit our website. That's bobbylaporte.com, where you can visit our blog and sign up for a further Executive Aid Station updates. So until our next episode, stay tuned, and we'll see you then.